If you love this podcast and IPR, you probably know that it's fueled by listener dollars. Hi, I'm Rick Brewer, a talk show producer at Iowa Public Radio. And part of my job is connecting with Iowans who have stories to tell. When you contribute to IPR, you help make that possible. Membership contributions make up 57% of IPR's budget. That's huge and amazing. So do your part to support the podcast and programs you enjoy. Go to iowapublicradio.org and tap the red donate button. Thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. After surviving this past school year, we have never needed summer more, and we have never needed good books more. This hour, we are going to find out about the best new books for kids from three experts. With me today, Sarah Prineas. She is an author for young readers. Her most recent book is Trouble in the Stars. She also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Sarah, hello.
Hello, Charity. Glad to be here.
So wonderful to have you back. Devin Redmond is here. She's a teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary. Hello, Devin.
Hey, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you. And Abby Paxton is with us for the first time, owner of Storyhouse Book Pub, a new bookshop in the East Village in Des Moines. Hello, Abby.
Hi, Charity. It's so fun to be here.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. And we are going to do things a little bit differently today. We're going to start with books for a little bit older readers. We're going to talk about those young adults. I, as a parent, am desperate for my children to read this summer. I know a lot of other parents feel the same way. So we're going to start with those books. And before we dive into that, Devin, as a teacher librarian, I know that Iowa City School District and school districts all over the state put together lists for kids for the summer. So you've already been not just with new books, but putting together lists of really great books for kids to read this summer.
Right. That's been a collaborative effort between the teacher librarians in the district, and we've worked really hard, and I'm proud of our work, and I think there are a lot of great titles on those lists.
So all right. Well, I will share a link later on my Twitter feed, and we'll make sure to include that as well in this web post at iowapublicradio.org later today. But let's start with some young adult books, and Sarah, I'm going to let you go first, because I know that this is kind of your favorite category.
It's close.
It's
up there. So before I jump into some books, I just want to talk about the category itself.
Okay.
Because as we know from talking to young readers, like the category young adult is it's a bookseller category. It's a marketing category.
Right.
And kids don't necessarily fit neatly into that category. So you can have readers anywhere from ages 10 to adults reading in the young adult category. It's very fuzzy. So some of the books I'm going to talk about kind of fit more neatly into that, and some might be for readers who are a little older or maybe a little more mature. Generally, the category itself is you're talking about ages 12 and up is the YA. But, you know, depending on the so-called content, you can get 14 and up. You can even get 16 and up. So do you want me to start with a book?
I do.
Okay. The first book I'm going to talk about is called Kate in Waiting by Becky Albert Halley. You may know her. She heard of her books before. She wrote Simon and the Homo Sapiens Agenda, which was turned into, I think, a movie. But she like hits the sweet spot for young adults. She's tapped into kind of the young adult culture and actual high school kids. So her dialogue is witty. Kate in Waiting is about drama nerds and kind of their drama, interpersonal drama. It's about this girl who and her best friend, and he's gay, and they both fall in love with the same boy. And there is so much drama. It kind of reminds me of Glee along with like a John Green novel. Those are the comp titles for this book. But it's very funny, and some of the predicaments are even like as an adult reading it, I'm just like, oh, you guys, you dear things, you know, you dear children. But it's funny, and it's, you know, it's just paced really well. It was easy to zoom through it. And I think a lot of kids will enjoy it. And the other interesting thing that it does is it kind of pits these two groups of students against each other, the drama nerds versus the kind of like the jocks. She has an expletive that she uses to describe these people. But and they, you know, they kind of unpack the assumptions that they have about each other. The other really great thing is it's a very diverse book. So it represents all kinds of kid readers who will come to it.
Wonderful. Kate in Waiting by Becky Albertalli.
Yep.
And what would you put that in as category-wise? 14 and up? Or?
I would say 12 and up. I think a younger reader could definitely glom onto it. It's about a junior in high school.
All right. Well, we do like to be aspirational when we read.
Yes, they do. They are very aspirational group.
And Abby, you and Devin have picked the same book for one of your YA books. So I'm going to let you start with Yoke, and then Devin can add on. But tell me about Yoke and why you picked it.
Sure. So Yoke by Mary H.K. Choi. This one I would recommend to kind of the older teenager. It's about a design school student, so she's in her first year of college away from home. Her name is Jane, and she's kind of made this big move to New York City. And so the story is really about her and her sister, and they're navigating this kind of complicated relationship and trying to move past a childhood dynamic and sort of these set ideas they had of one another into a more adult and nuanced understanding of each other. So a lot of it is about things that remain unsaid in families, and especially in this specific Korean-American family in this story. So Jane, our main character, she's kind of quietly managing this eating disorder and some mental health things, and she's in these messy romantic relationships, and she just sees her sister June, who's older, of kind of having it all together, even as we learn that June is quietly managing her own illness. So it just totally captures that flailing feeling of being a young adult and figuring out what to do with your life and these big complicated questions of family and identity. And Mary H.K. Choi is just a very engaging writer. It's totally cinematic. Like, you can see it. New York City is super fun and thrumming under everything in this story. There's a ton of great pop culture references and even humor. So it's tackling a lot of big things. It's a great crossover read, too, for grown-ups to be reading. It's just it's fun, and it makes you think.
Yeah, well, that has been one of my greatest joys in recent years. I know, Sarah, you've done this. I know, Devin, you've done this, where you get to read a book with your teenager, and you both relate to it, whether it's a book for adults or a YA novel. I read a lot of YA novels, actually. So, Devin, you want to add anything to Yoke? I think Abby summed it up really well, but it sounds really dramatic, and yet also there's humor.
Yes, I would definitely agree. I thought Abby did a great job. I was totally nodding as she was talking, just agreeing with everything that she said. I thought that it was a love letter to New York City as well. And Abby said that it was, the energy was just thrumming throughout the pages. And I would agree. And I think one thing that Choi did so well was just capture the meanness between siblings, between the two sisters, like how you can just deliver like the most zinger of a statement and then turn around and then just do something completely tender for that person too. Mm-hmm. And I just loved the honesty of the relationship between the two sisters. And then when you coupled that with their parents, it really, I just loved the book. I also agree that it would be for an older reader. In fact, I had to double check that it was a YA book because it felt like an adult book, not necessarily in content, just in the way that it was written. So I loved it.
All right. Yoke by Mary H.K. Choi. A double recommendation there. Sarah, what's next on your list?
Well, I have two really similar books. Okay. Is it okay if I talk about
Go
both of them?
Go for it.
Okay. The first one, they're both upper YA. So this is for your high school student. Maybe even adults are going to love these books. The first one is called The Left-Handed Booksellers of London by Garth Nix. And the second one is called A Deadly Education by Naomi Novik. The left-handed booksellers of London are people who go out and deal with interdimensional evil. The right-handed ones are just researchers and librarians. So the left-handed ones are the ones you want to deal with. And it's about these siblings. One is a left-handed, one is a right-handed, and they have to go out and basically deal with interdimensional evil. And it's the first in a series, I think. The other one, A Deadly Education by Naomi Novik, is her books are funny because they really do blur. Like, they have young protagonists, but they read older. A Deadly Education is a fantasy, like, school setting novel. So it's called The Scholomance. It's a two-book series. And it's about a girl who is kind of keeping a low profile at this magical school. And then things get dire. What happens at this school is there are monsters constantly trying to get in to get the students, and they have to fight their way out to graduate. So the first book is setting this up, like, that people, I mean, it's scary. Like, there, you can't go out in the hallways at night because there are creatures out there. And it, she's kind of building this, like, band of a team so that she can get out. But she's never been the Harry Potter, right? She's never been the star. She's always been kind of under the radar. But she's actually, of course, you know, the one.
Right.
but she's also really, her name's Galadriel. She hates her name. And she's just very, she's very goth, you know, and funny and grim, and knows that probably she's doomed. I mean, she's in big trouble. And so in the second book, you're kind of, you know, this is going to come. This is coming in the second book. So it's really very intense, very dark, but also weirdly funny.
All right. So the two books are The Left-Handed Booksellers of London by Garth Nix and A Deadly Education by Naomi Novik. We have about 1 minute left before the break. Sarah, do you want to just do your last YA pick
okay,
for us?
I'll do it really quickly because okay. I bet you could get a lot of it from just the title. It's called The Luck of the Titanic by Stacy Lee. It's about a girl, young woman who's half Chinese and half English, who has to stow away on the Titanic so to get to America to join her brother. And there's so much tension because you're like, is she going to get caught or whatever? But you also know from an author's note at the beginning of the novel that only 6 of the 8 Chinese people on board the ship are going to make it after the Titanic hits the iceberg. And there is so much tension toward the end of the book because you know who one is, but you don't know who the other one is.
Wow.
And you don't know. And it's a bittersweet ending. I mean, it's not an easy necessarily read, but it's really good. It's very intense and very fun. Cool.
All right. And cool. And about what age range would you say?
Oh, I would put that anywhere 12 and up. Sure. Can take that on.
All right. Luck of the Titanic by Stacy Lee. And we are going to have 2 more young adult picks after the break, one from Devin and one from Abby. Then we'll talk about books for middle grade readers and we'll wind up with those great picture books that we all love so much. This hour, we're learning about the best new books for young readers. With me, Sarah Prineas. She is an Iowa City-based author and also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore. Devin Redmond is a teacher librarian at Coralville Central. And Abby Paxton is the owner of Storyhouse Book Pub, a new bookshop in the East Village in Des Moines. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
The way you get your news may have changed during this pandemic, but you still need to know what's going on in our state every day. IPR News has you covered. Subscribe to our new podcast, Here First, and start your day equipped with the essential local news you need to know, delivered in under 15 minutes, weekdays by 7 a.m. Get analysis from IPR's team of reporters. Learn about what's going on at the State House and on the ground in your community. Subscribe to Here First today, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are talking about the best new books for kids. Sarah Prineas is here. She is an author. Her most recent book is Trouble in the Stars. That's a middle grade novel. She also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Devin Redmond is a teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary. Abby Paxton is the owner of Storyhouse Book Pub, a new bookshop in the East Village in Des Moines. And we've got 2 more YA picks before we move on to those middle grade readers. And Devin, why don't you go next? Tell us about your next pick.
All right. My next pick is Concrete Rose by Angie Thomas. And I'm not sure if you read The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. That's a story about Star Carter, who witnessed the shooting of her longtime childhood friend Khalil at the hands of a police officer and what happened afterwards. Well, Concrete Rose is actually the prequel to The Hate U Give, and it's about Star's father, Maverick Carter, when he was a teenager. So being in the King Lords is pretty much Maverick's legacy, which is a gang in the area. It It's how he's going to get the money to help pay the bills. And it's really the only family that he knows, especially because his dad was kind of the king lord before he was sent to prison. But when Maverick finds out he's going to be a father, he's hoping to go straight. It's a hard thing to do, though, because when the straight and narrow brings so many responsibilities, but not much money, and then it brings the pressure from the people that he knows and he loves the best. Concrete Rose, the title, is taken from Tupac Shakur's book of poetry, The Rose That Grew from the Concrete. The book was so human and it was so honest. And actually, Nick Stone, who's another important author, in her review on in the Washington Post, she talked about how Thomas's greatest skill is crafting characters that give even adult readers insight into their younger selves. And going on, it says, it gives us permission to let our guards down and be a little more legitimately human. So Maverick's mom was actually my favorite character. I really appreciated the point of view being that of a teenage dad. And then on kind of a more personal note, I did attend Catholic school K through 12. And I just heard over and over back then that teen sex and teens getting pregnant is wrong. And I thought I had come farther along in how I thought about that topic, teen pregnancy. But this book made me confront some biases that I didn't know were there. So I really did love this book.
Well, and I've read everything that Angie Thomas has written in recent years because I love it so much. So, I mean, it feels like reading The Hate U Give is a really important thing to do before you read Concrete Rose.
I would agree.
And On the Come Up is also fantastic. So buy the teen in your life, all three of these books.
I would
agree. And then read them with them because they're that good. All right. That's Concrete Rose by Angie Thomas. And Abby, what's your other YA pick?
Yeah, so I feel like it's a great follow-up to Concrete Rose. It's called A Sitting in St. James by Rita Williams Garcia. And she has given us so much great literature throughout the years and won so many awards. So this book just came out. It's a big historical fiction crossover for grown-ups, too. And so definitely one that I would recommend for that 16 and up or emotionally mature teen. And one I was really thinking of a lot of my teacher friends with this recommendation who are looking at building their curriculum for the fall this summer. So it's a sweeping epic story. There's a large cast of characters, and it's set on a plantation in the antebellum South. So the story kind of begins with a 13-year-old girl in France essentially being kidnapped to become the wife of a French plantation owner who then takes her back to the American South. And it starts, and now she's older. She's 80 years old, and she is kind of trying to grasp onto this sense of this kind of illusory sense of power and having her portrait done. But really, it's about all of the people that live together in this space, and it's told from everybody's different perspective. There are people who she has enslaved that are characters here, as well as a set of younger men who are supposed to be the heirs of this land. So, I mean, it's a heavy hitter of a book, and I'm thinking especially of teachers who are kind of collecting anti-racist literature and teaching history through non-white centered history through literature, might want to take a look at this book this summer. Maybe they've incorporated, you know, Colson Whitehead's Underground Railroad into the curriculum before. And, you know, Williams Garcia, she's just a masterful writer and thinker, and talks about writing this story because she's been, you know, just so moved by the cyclical nature of racism and brutality in our country, and hoping to encourage real discussion of history and our collective history. So if teens are reading it this summer, I would definitely say make sure they're supported with a lot of context and a lot of conversation. But yes, I think it's a great one to look at for building curriculum as well.
And another great book to read with your teen, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Charity, can I jump in real
sure,
quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So, Abby, Rita Williams-Garcia was the visiting author this year in Iowa City, and I loved her. I only got to meet her through Zoom, but she was so beautiful and true and honest, and I've been wanting to read this book, and I put it on hold at the library, but it hasn't come in yet, so it's good to know that it's a big, heavy book. Though.
I will say we have it at Prairie Light.
Well, and Devin, I know that you've recommended her other books in the past for middle grade readers, the One Crazy Summer series as well. So
those are some of my favorites.
All right. A Sitting in St. James by Rita Williams-Garcia. And we're going to shift to middle grade, and we're also going to pick up the pace, or we're going to run out of time to talk about those beautiful picture books that we all love to talk about so much. So, Sarah, I will turn to you.
Okay.
Pick a middle grade book and tell me about it fast.
Okay. I'm going to start with a nonfiction middle grade. It's a graphic nonfiction. It's called A Shot in the Arm. Bet you can guess what that's about. It's part of a series called Big Ideas That Changed the World, and it's about how vaccines were developed, and it's kind of told in comic book form by Don Brown. I'm a huge fan of this guy's work. He's funny, and he always drills down to the really important, sometimes hard to talk about stuff. So he really brings it out. Like, he talks about how vaccines were developed back, you know, even going all the way back to Egyptian ages, and how smallpox was basically, you know, eradicated by vaccines, and brings it up to the present day. So if you want to, again, like, contextualize what's going on with the COVID-19 vaccine, this is a great book to turn to look at the history of vaccines and why they work and why they're good.
All right. A Shot in the Arm by Don Brown, a graphic nonfiction book. Devin, what's on your list?
Yeah, I think I'll start with a book that was completely not on my radar at all. It's called Red, White, and Whole by Rajini LaRocca. And this book is a novel in verse. And it was the story of Rhea, a 14-year-old Indian-American girl who's trying to find her place in the world with her Indian parents and their high expectations. And then her friends, some of who are Indian too, who want to dance, wear the cool clothes, and have fun. So the book is set in a Midwestern town in the 1980s. So there is mention of bands and music from that time period. And I kind of feel like that's making a little comeback right now. So that might appeal to some readers. But Rhea's struggle to find her place becomes that much more difficult when her mom is diagnosed with cancer. She hopes that maybe if she's the perfect Indian daughter, her mom will be okay. One of the things that I liked most about this book were all of the characters who were helpful to Rhea. She had strong friends, she had comforting adults in her life, and then I also learned a lot about Indian culture. And then a small detail that I loved is I remember writing airmail notes on those kind of aerograms that you would write.
Yeah, that blue paper, the very thin blue paper.
Yes. Yep. And that plays a small part in this book, too. And that was just a little detail that kind of warmed my heart a little bit.
All right. Red, White, and Whole by Rajini LaRocca. And your turn, Abby.
So I'm going to talk about a graphic novel called Picasso by Remy Lai. This is the same author who did Pie in the Sky, which is our All Iowa Reads middle grade pick this year. So this is a perfect summer break pick because it starts on the very first day of summer break, and it just has that big, heavy graphic novel, bright pages with, I will say, A+ dog content in this book. So it centers around this sort of mysterious dog who carries his own shopping list and in a basket in his mouth to all of the small businesses in town, and all of the shopkeepers come out and load him up with all of his groceries. And, you know, of course, it's a small business. You love that. And then there's a main character, Joe, who is sort of feeling listless at the beginning of summer break, kind of uninterested in everything that their peers are doing. And there's kind of a certain sadness there with some family things going on. But Joe intersects with this dog And they kind of, as a duo, inadvertently become the center of the community going on in the summer. So the library is also a major setting in this book, and Joe becomes, through the dog, a part of this bookworm book club program, this art program, and it's just, it's totally delightful. There's a big calamity that happens in the middle, and ultimately, you know, it's a story where Joe learns something about love, because it's also the story about a dog. So dog lover kids will just love too the doggy expressions in all of the graphics in this book, you know, from when the dog is like waking up from naps and rolling around in the yard and things like that. It's a total delight.
Nice. Well, now I have to read this, even though I'm not 11 years old. Paw Casso by Remy Lai. And that brings us back to you, Sarah.
Oh, I'm so glad we're talking about dogs, because like the other people in the studio, I am a dog lover. And my next book is about dogs. It's called Res Dogs by Joseph Bruchac, who is a notable Indigenous author. And I love all of his work. It's a novel in verse. It is going to be accessible to lots of middle grade readers. I feel like Devin and I were talking about this earlier, but novels in verse a lot of times aren't necessarily like poems. Mm-hmm. It is novels where the sentences are broken down into much more manageable chunks visually on the page. And so I think especially reluctant readers can find these books more accessible than a lot of like big, you know, novels with lots of words on the page. So anyway, Res Dogs is about reservation dogs. So there's this girl named Malian, and she goes to visit her grandparents at the beginning of the pandemic, and then all travel is shut down. Her parents are in the city. She's safer where she is. And so she stays on the reservation with her grandparents. And they're joined at the house by a dog who kind of is a protector, and she's a protector too. She's protecting her grandparents from, you know, people who want to encroach and maybe put them in danger. She even, you know, like she makes friends on the reservation. She's like, you guys can't be doing this thing because it's not safe. Like, she's not afraid to take a stand. And so it's about kind of her bravery and her grandparents' bravery as they get through what for all of us was a very, very hard time. So Res Dogs by Joseph Bruchac.
All right. And that brings us back to you, Devin. And I think you should talk about a book with a very familiar author who's not going to talk about her own book.
I will talk about it if you want to talk about it.
So I do have to say that to my right in the studio is Sarah Pranaeus, who is also my neighbor and my right across the street neighbor. Like, I see her maybe working on her books through the window and on her screened porch. But so I really did love her newest book, Trouble in the Stars. I do give books stars, and I gave this one 5 out of 5 stars. And I'm actually smiling right now thinking about the main character, Trouble. We first meet him as a blob of goo, but then learn that he is a shapeshifter. So next we meet him as a puppy, and then we meet him as a boy. So Trouble stowaways on a dented, and this is from the book, tin can of a spaceship, one crewed by a mismatched gang of creatures, and thus begins an adventure story I really couldn't put down. Sarah did an exceptionally great job of creating strong characters with distinct personalities, and I really liked the homey feeling and description of the hindsight spaceship. So Trouble in the Stars is science fiction, and it will take a reader that will need to use different thought processes reading it. I think it would make a great family read aloud and a classroom read aloud if a teacher were willing to help all the students understand what was going on. And I thought it was great for third grade plus, and I do think it is very open for a sequel.
Oh, there is a sequel. Yes.
Wonderful.
It's already written.
All right. Even better. Trouble in the Stars by Sarah Pranaeus.
Can I just say one thing about Trouble?
Yes.
This is the book of my heart. I'm so glad you liked it, because I put everything that I love into this book, and it's warms my heart to hear that you enjoyed it.
Wonderful. All right. We've got time for one more middle grade book, Abby.
Great. So I'm going to jump off of the sci-fi with some fantasy. So Amari and the Night Brothers by B.B. Alston. So this is the beginning of another world of a big, you know, world-building fantasy. So readers who, you know, have been drawn to Harry Potter or love Percy Jackson will love Amari. So Amari is, you know, a regular girl from the neighborhood. Her beloved older brother, though, has gone missing and has been missing for a while. And that's sort of the central mystery that we encounter right away that's driving this story. And another thing that happens right at the beginning is that she's suddenly nominated for summer tryouts in this space that she soon discovers is called the Bureau of Supernatural Affairs. And from there, the book starts kind of bursting with magic as she discovers her powers, which turn out to take her into some dangerous territory. So this is already, you know, being made into a film. The author, B.B. Alston, was inspired to create an unapologetically Black heroine and kind of thinking about, you know, what if a kid like me got into Hogwarts or Camp Half-Blood or Narnia? So it doesn't shy away either from things going on in our here and now world of privilege and wealth as, you know, Amari goes up against characters in these trials who have known about their superpowers all of their lives. And it's just, it's the beginning of what I think will be more books to come and a great big world to sink into for young ones this summer.
Exciting. Amari and the Night Brothers by B.B. Alston. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back to talk about picture books in just a moment. With me, Abby Paxton, owner of Storyhouse Book Pub, a new bookshop in the East Village in Des Moines, Devin Redmond, teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary, and Sarah Prineas, who has written Trouble in the Stars. She also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City.
In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we are finding out about the best new books for young readers with Sarah Prineas of Iowa City, Prairie Lights Bookstore. Her most recent book is Trouble in the Stars, Devin Redmond, a teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary, and Abby Paxton, owner of the Storyhouse Book Pub in the East Village in Des Moines. And now we are going to talk about picture books. And Sarah, you want to go first, huh?
I do, because I have such a good segue from the middle grade, because we were talking about Trouble in the Stars. And Devin mentioned that there's some concepts in that book that might be hard for readers to take on. And some of that is like the size of the galaxy and how big things are and space, what space is, you know. And so my first picture book answers a lot of those questions for readers that are curious. It's called Your Place in the Universe by Jason Chin. And what I love about this book is that it takes up a theme that I took up in Trouble in the Stars, which is about perspective. In Trouble in the Stars, the hindsight, the spaceship is like, it's like a little house. But then you start seeing the expansiveness of space and you get this perspective shift, right, from tiny to huge. And Jason Chin in this book unpacks that. He starts out with kids standing on Earth, and then he draws the camera back and back, and things get bigger. So you go to the universe, you go to the solar system, you go to the galaxy, then you go to this web of galaxies that are like a net across the universe. And he goes even further. He goes to the furthest expanses of the universe that we can see. And he says, the universe is everything, every star, every galaxy, every planet, all of space. It's the grandest environment we know of, and it may go on and on forever. But we don't know if it does. We don't know because the farthest we can see is around 13 billion light years away. And so I love the way he takes it out so far. And yet it starts with this little kid standing on the planet Earth. And I just love that perspective, you know, the juxtaposition of small and impossibly huge.
All right. Your Place in the Universe by Jason Chin. And Abby, I'll let you go next. What's your first picture book pick?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about Balloons for Papa by Elizabeth Gilbert Padilla and illustrated by Erica Meza. So Elizabeth is actually a local Iowa author centered here around Des Moines. And this story really takes on the idea that I think so often we assume that kids need to be kept out of some of the big stuff, like when life gets hard. But the brilliant thing that Elizabeth is doing here is that she's featuring a young boy called Arthur. And most of the scenes are Arthur and his dad walking across a park. And his dad is very sad. And you can see that Arthur is also feeling this sadness through his father pretty acutely. So it's a book that gently guides young readers through some big feelings. And the way that Erica Meza does this, too, through illustrations, it's, you know, everything is kind of in grayscale except for these balloons that are sort of the center of the story. And, you know, as the story goes along, the palette moves from grayscale into pops of color and warmth, you know, toward the end in a kind of sunny way as the father and the boy are able to connect again. So this is just, it's a really beautifully told book. It's a perfect book to expand children's vocabulary around sadness and around like how important it is to come together as a family during hard times. So that's Balloons for Papa by Elizabeth Gilbert Padilla.
Wonderful. All right, your turn, Devin.
I think that I'll talk about a book that sounds similar a little bit to Balloons for Papa, and that is Bear Island by Matthew Cordell. And Matthew Cordell is one of my favorite authors and illustrators. And I was telling Sarah that I think one of the reasons that I like some authors especially is because the kids at my school really like certain books by that person. And so Cordell's Wolf in the Snow is much loved by the kids at Coralville Central. Bear Island is a great book too, but it might not necessarily have the excitement that kids are looking for because it's a quieter story about love, loss, grief, and then growth. So Louise and her mom and her dad are missing their dog, Charlie, who died. Louise finds some solace on a small island where she meets a bear who seems to be also going through his own sadness. Both Louise and the bear find happiness in nature, but then change comes again. So the illustrations in this book go from a sepia tone to colorful and then back and forth, kind of like the ups and downs of life. Bear Island might deal with a sad subject, but I thought that the story was more realistic in seeing the ebbs and flows that we all go through. So rather than being a sad book, it just felt more realistic.
Well, it sounds like one of those books that you turn to during a difficult time, and no matter how old your kid is. So Bear Island by Matthew Cordell, and that brings us back to you, Sarah.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to talk about, let's see, Chick Chat by Janie Bynum, which is for younger readers. I think it's going to make a great board book someday. But it's about this little chick in the family, and the little chick never shuts up. Cheep, 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 cheep. Chirp, 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 chirp. The big sister flops her head on the table and says, "Make it stop." And the, you know, the parents deal with little chipper chick as well as they can. And she goes out into the world.
Am I going to have trouble reading this out loud, Sarah?
But she goes out into the world and meets a friend who is less verbose than Chick Chat, but it's just sort of funny and cute. The chick is adorable. And I think the littlest readers will really enjoy her chatter.
Wonderful.
Chick Chat by Janie Bynum. And it's your turn again, Abby.
So let's talk about more animal books. So I'm going to talk about Something's Wrong by Jory John and illustrated by Aaron Crane. So those of you that know Jory John know that he loves to give animals these big personalities. and this is like the silliest woodland friendship story. Starts with a bear who leaves his house and he's just finished all of his important morning tasks. He's written in his journal. He's watered his plants.
But he just can't shake the feeling that something's wrong. So then, you know, we as the readers can see that the bear is wearing this pair of tidy whitey underwear and his little tail is sticking out. But he doesn't really realize that. So he encounters all these different, you know, animals along his walk, and he's performing this really awkward small talk with everybody, which is very fun to read out loud and very fun to do with kids. But of course, the joke is not that he's not wearing pants because he's an animal, but nobody understands why he's wearing this pair of underwear. So, you know, he finds a friend who tells him the truth, and they kind of turn the tables on the whole woodland community, and wearing panties becomes very cool in this forest. And I just, the illustrations in this too are wood cutout prints and the expressions on these animal faces. Like, this is a great read aloud, very fun. You will be laughing with your kids for sure through this one.
All right, Something's Wrong, A Bear, A Hare, and Some Underwear by Jory John, illustrated by Aaron Balzer. And it's your turn, Devin.
All right, my next pick is Zonia's Rainforest by Juana Martinez Neal. And Juana Martinez Neal is another favorite author and illustrator of mine. My teacher librarian friend from Garner created a great author study unit for first and second graders when we were in the early days, the early hybrid days of COVID, and the kids really loved the unit. But Zonia's Rainforest is Juana's newest book that teaches kids some of the most beautiful animals and birds found in the Peruvian Amazon. At the end of the story, little Zonia sees the cutting down of trees in the forest and tells her mom and little brother that everyone needs to do something to preserve the forest that gives us and its animal inhabitants so much. At the end of the book, readers can learn about the Ashaninka people, who are the largest indigenous group living in the region. And then the teacher librarian in me loved the work cited at the end as well. So
wonderful. Okay. Zonia's Rainforest by Juana Martinez Neal. And or Neal, I'm not sure. Sorry. And that brings us back to you, Sarah.
Woohoo. Okay. My next one is called Someone Builds the Dream, written by Lisa Wheeler and illustrated by Lauren Long. And this, it's sort of nominally fiction, but it's for the kid who's kind of curious about how stuff works and how stuff gets made. And the thing that I really like about it is that it takes things from the realms of ideas and shows how they become real. So, for example, it begins, all across this great big world, jobs are getting done. And it begins with an architect. She creates a space. She'll draw, redraw, measure, and trace. A woodsy, warm, and peaceful place. But, and this is going to happen throughout the book, but the idea, someone works to guide the saws, plane the logs, lead the team. Someone needs to pound the nails. Someone has to build the dream. And so it's all kinds of different things in our world and shows how they were created from idea to actualization. And the illustrations are great because it has, they're diverse groups of people. There are women who are architects, women who are working on the building sites. I love that kind of diversity in illustrations, and they're bright and interesting. Lots going on for the kid that likes to look for details in pictures too.
Awesome. Someone Builds the Dream by Lisa Wheeler and illustrated by Lauren Long. And it's your turn, Abby.
Yeah, this is another great learning story. So it's called The Ocean Calls, a Henyo Mermaid Story by Tina Cho, who's also an Iowa author that we have living close by, and illustrated by Jess X. Snow. So it's the story of a little girl, and she is learning the art of free diving from her grandmother in Korea. They're on an island, Jeju Island, and it's this practice that's been going on for generations, where indigenous Korean women have been practicing this ancient Henyo tradition of deep diving into the sea to gather food and beautiful things out of the ocean. And so the little girl is, of course, very nervous to do this. The sea is big and she is small, and you know, it's free diving, like they don't take oxygen with them. And so the story is just, I mean, it's very set, of course, in time and space, and you're learning about this tradition, but it feels also like this magical real life mermaid setting, and the illustrations are just, you know, you have these big juicy oceanscapes, sun rises, sunsets, and just a beautiful story of passing on tradition through generations and really caring for our world. So that's The Ocean Calls by Tina Cho.
All right, wonderful. And Devin, it's your turn.
I will talk about a book called Milo Imagines the World by Matt De La Pena. And Matt De La Pena and Christian Robinson are another favorite author-illustrator duo. The character in the book, Milo, is like me in that he looks at people and he imagines their life or their story. But he is unlike me in that he gets to ride the subway to do that. But Milo is actually feeling anxious as he and his sister ride towards a destination that we are shown at the end of the book. But to take his mind off his anxieties, he looks around at his fellow passengers and he draws pictures of where he thinks they're off to. Like the boy with the perfectly combed hair and the ironed white shirt is off to a castle with a butler. A woman in a wedding dress is off to a huge cathedral wedding. Milo imagines the group of subway breakdancers being followed by police in a department store, but he doesn't like that picture, so he scribbles it out. And then Milo takes a second and he rethinks his drawings when he realizes that we can't really know someone by just looking at them. This book is a great reminder that we can all leave our assumptions about people at the door, and it's a book that is thought-provoking, and it will definitely be a great conversation starter.
Wonderful. Milo Imagines the World by Matt De La Pena. And, all right, lightning round.
Okay.
So you pick whatever you want to pick. Go, Sarah.
Okay, I'm going to pick up a picture book, Yes and No by Alicia Cooper. All I will say about this is that yes is the dog, and no is the cat.
Okay. I'm totally hooked already. Yes and No by Alicia Cooper. And Abby.
I'm going to quickly shout out Jungle Night, the new Sandra Boynton book, where we have a lot of snoring animals. It's the almost perfect bedtime book until, of course, it's not. There's also a Yo-Yo Ma soundtrack that goes underneath it, where we hear the cello making some of the animal snoring sounds.
Oh, nice. And is this in board book format?
Yes, this is a little board book for the littlest ones.
Perfect for chewing on. Jungle Night by Sandra Boynton. And Devin?
I am going to end mine with Don't Hug Doug by Carrie Finneson. And I do like hugs, but only from some people. And I do know there are people who don't like hugs at all. This funny book explains that Doug really just doesn't like hugs except one quick one from his mom at bedtime. He likes a whole lot of things, including his classmates, but he just doesn't like hugs. And I thought that this was a great book because right now a lot of us are excited to give hugs, but we do have to respect people's boundaries. So it is a funny and silly book. So just dealing with that subject.
All right. Don't Hug Doug. He Doesn't Like It by Carrie Finneson. And because you were so fast, Sarah, you get a bonus book.
Okay. Let's see. Bonus book. I put my list away. So go to Devin and come back to me.
You wanted to talk about Skunk and Badger, Sarah.
Oh, I do. Okay, yeah. This is Skunk and Badger is by Amy Timberlake. And it's actually on my middle grade list, but I think a younger reader could read it as well. And I will be brief. Badger lives in a house that his supposed aunt lets him live in, and Skunk shows up. Badger is very set in his ways. Skunk is kind of a free spirit. This is a quirky, funny book. It strikes me as also being something that, like, librarians probably love, and you're gonna have to sell it to your kids because it's especially for the kid who's a little offbeat. This is a really, really fun read.
All right, and start of a series as well.
I think so.
Yep, that's what I'm seeing online.
Okay,
all right,
great.
Skunk and Badger by Amy Timberlake. Sarah, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah. Oh, it was last.
Yeah. And Devin, thank you.
Thank you.
And Abby, thank you. I hope you come back again.
Thank you so much. It was a blast.
Abby Paxton is the owner of Storyhouse Book Pub, a new bookshop in the East Village in Des Moines. Devin Redmond is a teacher librarian at Coralville Central Elementary. And Sarah Prinius, her most recent book is Trouble in the Stars, works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. We will post this list online later today at iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts.